Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 6, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Glory to God. Is anybody hungry this morning? Thirsty for righteousness. What is this righteousness? Righteousness is having God's righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. How many people know he's perfect in all his ways? He is righteous. In other words, he is right. He's right all the time. There's nothing wrong in God. Everything's right about him. He always says the right thing at the right time. Always does the right thing at the right time. There's no mistakes in him. No error at all. Think about that. No mishaps. With God, everything is right. He is righteous. And he has given us his righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. No matter how right we were before Jesus, we were all wrong. No matter how many things we did right, we were still wrong. It was just our nature. We were wrong. Wrong. We were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Part of the wrong kingdom. Serving the wrong God. But then faith in Jesus came, and we got saved, and we became the righteousness of God, and all the wrong that we were was removed, washed away, taken away. Now we've been made right in our spirit. Glory to God. Now we want to see this righteousness that we are continue to expand and grow. You know, Jesus likened it to leaven. Leaven are like yeast, you know. You take some yeast and you put it in a big batch of dough. And it just begins over time to work through the dough, and it just begins to eat away through it and create all these holes inside the dough until the dough begins to get filled with air and rises. He said, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's what the things pertaining to God's kingdom are like. It's likened to leaven. And it gets in there and it just works through the whole batch of dough. It works through your entire being. And that's what God is looking to happen in our lives. He's wanting Christ to be formed in us. It's to increase on the inside of us and work its way not only through our spirit, but into our soul, into our mind, into our body, into our affairs. We're to have his righteousness in our business. We're to have his righteousness in our home. We want God's righteousness in everything we say and in everything that we do. We want to just be filled and full of that righteousness. Full of that righteousness. Well, how's it going to happen? Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They won't just have a little seed of righteousness. They won't just have a little teaspoon or a measure of righteousness in them. No, bless God, it'll expand. It'll go through the whole lump. It'll go through your entire being. And saturates your entire life. And that's God's will for us. That should be our will for us. I want his righteousness. I want things to be right. I want to do the right thing. I want to say the right thing. I want to live right. I want to act right. How many people are hungry about living right, acting right, and having it right? In other words, having it God's way. Not my way, not my will, as good as it may seem to our heads at times. Not our will, but his will. We want His will to be done. Man, we should be hungry for that. Hungry for that. Praise God. Because now we can have it. We can have a life that is right in every area. We can have it. Why? Because He's already given us everything we need for it. He's already sown His righteousness into us. But now we need to feed the seed of righteousness that has been sown into our heart. You know, when you plant seed in the ground, you got to feed the seed. You got to water it, fertilize it. It's got to receive nourishment in order to be able to grow. It's the same thing with God's righteousness in you and I. We need to feed it. And the only way we're going to feed it is when we get hungry for it. Because in order to feed, you got to have an appetite. And what is an appetite? When you look up appetite or you look up hunger in the dictionary, you get these words: craving, longing, yearning, desire, passion. So when we're talking about being hungry for something, we're talking about being passionate. Food is our necessity, right? Our lives depend on it. If we don't eat, we die. We got to eat. So there's always a certain amount of desperation that accompanies hunger, that accompanies somebody with an appetite. It's amazing how people will act when they get hungry. People can lose control of themselves pretty quick. You know? People feeling good, feeling great, then they start getting a little hungry. And they start getting a little more hungry. And next thing you know, I got to eat. How many people ever said the phrase, "I'm starving to death"? Come on. I'm starving. Come on. I'm starving. I'm starving. When was the last time you ate? 4 hours ago. I don't think you're starving. Right? I'm starving. I've worked up such an appetite. See, there's a desperation there. A desperation there. God wants us to be desperate concerning spiritual hunger. Passionate, where we are craving a righteous life. I crave righteousness. I want to live for righteousness. I want to walk in the righteousness of God. But if we feel like we're kind of okay and we're not so bad apart from God, then we're not going to crave so much His righteousness because we're doing pretty good. Hunger is a blessing from heaven. A lot of times people, they think about, you know, being filled, what a blessing it is to be filled. But it's a blessing first to be hungry. It's a blessing to be hungry. Because it's those who hunger and thirst for righteousness that get filled. So it's a blessing to be hungry. It's a curse to not have any hunger. It's a curse to not have any appetite. It's a curse to not be craving spiritual food. That's a curse. Just like in the natural, people that are sick, they're nauseous, or maybe they have a very serious illness. Many times, with that illness comes a lack of hunger, an actual detesting of food. Have you ever not felt good? And just the sound of food, just somebody talking about food makes you feel awful? That's a sick condition. That's somebody that's sick. That's somebody that's not right. I remember when I was little, I was sick. It was terrible. And my aunt was making fudge. She was making fudge, and the smell of fudge was all over the house. It was the worst Worst smell I ever smelt in my life. I couldn't stand it. You know what was amazing? After I had gotten healed of whatever, you know, I was nauseous from, when I had gotten that all fixed, just the smell of fudge for the longest time made all those feelings of nauseous come back to me. Ooh, because it was such a bad memory. I was sick, and then I'm smelling fudge. Everybody's excited about the fudge, and I'm in pain smelling this thing. And it was so traumatic that it stayed with me for years after. When I'd smell fudge, I would immediately identify it to being sick. And there's, you know, been some other things like that that also, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Man, when things are not right in your body, you don't want to eat, you don't want to talk about food, you don't want to smell food. It's the same thing spiritually. When we are not interested in the word, we have no appetite. A day goes by, 2 days goes by, 3 days, a week goes by. Yeah, I know I should read the word. That's like a sick person lying there saying, I know I should eat something. I know I should. I'll try. Yeah, just try. Just try a little bit. Just try a little bit. See if you can hold it down. See if you can hold it down. That's how a lot of folks are. Christians are spiritually. Well, I know I need to. I know I have to. I know I should. See, they talk like a spiritually sick person. That's not normal. That's not right. And I think the first part to being right in your spirit is recognizing when something's not right, when something's wrong. That's a sick condition. And we need to get that straightened out right away. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 4 that out of the heart or out of the spirit flows the issues of life. What's going on inside you is going to affect every area of your life. And if you are just dull with God, you're not that interested, you're not that hungry, you're not craving, you're not passionate, there's not this sense of desperation, I got to get with Jesus, I got to get alone with God, I need some space, I need some time with God. If there isn't that kind of hunger, if there isn't that kind of appetite, then something's not right that we have got to get fixed right away. Because it's going to affect every area of our life. It's going to affect us, obviously, emotionally. It's going to affect us mentally. It's going to affect us physically. It's going to affect us at work, in business, in whatever we do in life. It's going to affect us in a negative way. So we have to have the blessedness of hunger. We have to have a big appetite. And those who hunger, those who crave, those who long for, those who recognize their need for God's righteousness, it's a necessity. I have to have it. Not that I've had it, I have to have it. And that's another mistake people make. They confuse a head full of knowledge of God and the Bible with a heart full of living, working revelation of God. See, we get some knowledge and we hear some teaching to the point where, man, we could teach it, we could tell other people. I'll get up, minister a message, and people be like, yeah, I know this. I've been there, done that. I can teach this. Come on. Give me some new stuff. That's a very bad place to be spiritually. That's a deception. Because you've lost your hunger. And how have you lost your hunger? You think having a head full of knowledge is the same as a spirit full of revelation. And it's not the same. You say, how do you know the difference between knowledge in your head and revelation in your heart? Oh, it's living. It's working. It's something you're working out in your life. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Abundance, that's overflow. overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If it's in your heart, it's what's coming out of your mouth. It's what you're talking about. It's what you want to share. It's what you want to tell others about. You're excited about it. It's alive to you. It's living. And in order to keep the Word of God living like that, we have to keep being filled with it. You can't live off of yesterday's bread. You need fresh bread every day. Right? I mean, you can live off it for a while, just like food. You could go without eating for a while, but the more you go without eating, the more desperate things are going to become. The more your condition is going to deteriorate. You've got to get food in your body. You've got to get food because that's your strength. And I don't know if somebody prepared a nice steak dinner for me and they put that in front of me, I wouldn't look at it like, man, steak. I know steak. I've had steak. I mean, I don't have to even sit in front of this steak. I know what it smells like. I can tell you what it smells like. I know what it looks like. I know steak. Been there, done that. You wouldn't do that with steak, would you? That's how God's word is. We don't sit there and go, oh, I know that. I know that word. Well, it ain't living in your life. It's old. It's old. It's just a memory. It's just in your head. It's not living. Because if it was living, then you'd be like, yeah, that was great stuff. Give me more. Give me more. I mean, there shouldn't be a single truth in God's word that gets old to us. Now, it will get old to your head if you just come to Jesus and live out of your head. Everything gets old in the flesh. The Bible says that. It says that the things of the flesh, the outer man, is perishing. It's wasting away. It's things of the flesh, they're getting older and older and wasting away. But the things of the Spirit are renewed day by day by day by day by day. So the things of God never get old. So when we get to a place where it's like God's word, the teaching of the word, this church, these things, when they start getting old to us, that is not a reflection of the condition of God's word, the condition of the church, the condition of the teaching. It's a reflection of your spiritual health. You've allowed deception to get in there and puff you up, to inflate you with deception. Because deception, sin, and the things of Satan's kingdom work just like the kingdom of God. The Bible says a little leaven, and this is in a negative sense, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So a little sin, a little deception, if it goes unchecked, if that's allowed to remain without you dealing with it, confessing it, calling it out for what it is, a deception, you allow that to work in you, that also begins to punch holes. That also begins to eat through the whole lump. And you get puffed up. Not filled up, just puffed up. The leaven of heaven will fill you up. But the leaven of this world, the leaven of sin, the leaven of Satan, it'll puff you up. It'll just inflate you with just a bunch of air. And you'll think, I'm full. I'm stuffed. And you're just full of air. Just full with a head full of knowledge. And it's just carnality. It's not spirituality. You're not really full of spiritual food, spiritual nourishment. Because it's amazing, no matter how hungry you are, you're still hungry. I mean, let's face it. It's amazing how you sit there at the restaurant, you know, and you eat this food, and you say, I'm stuffed. I can't eat anything else. I'm absolutely full. And then they walk over with the dessert menu. Well, all right, I'll take the chocolate brownie with the two scoops of ice cream, the fudge, the walnuts, and the whipped cream. There's always room for that. Isn't that amazing? Why is there room for that? You're hungry. Even when you're full, you're still hungry. It's amazing. We'll go out to eat, have a big full meal, come home. We just drove a little while. We come home and the kids are in the pantry. And they're raiding the pantry and pulling out cereal. Like, you just ate. You ate more than me. Why are you having a bowl of cereal? They're growing. They're growing. They're expanding. They're hungry all the time. Hungry all the time. And the truth of it is, we'd be eating a lot more if we didn't restrain ourselves. We do restrain ourselves, don't we? Good. When it comes to carnal food, natural things, there needs to be restraint. Thank God. So, you know, there's a lot of times you can just keep snacking. But not good, not good. Physically, not good. That catches up to us. But spiritually, very good. Keep snacking. Come on. Take out the beef jerky of Jesus. Come on. Have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Keep filling yourself up. Keep feasting. Keep eating. And when you're hungry for righteousness, that's exactly what you do. You hunger and thirst for it. So you're always checking yourself up. You're always examining yourself under the microscope of God's word, making sure that what you're saying, what you're doing is a reflection of Him, that it's His righteousness at work in your life, and it's not you just out there doing your own thing. Man, I need to be energized by Jesus 24/7. Otherwise, Stephen's going to take over. And I don't want Stephen. That was one of the reasons why I got born again. It was so the old Stephen could pass away. I don't want the old guy. I want the new creation. I want the righteousness of God. I want that guy, the one that's in Christ Jesus. I want him to rise up. I want him to dominate my thought life. I want him to be expressing himself. Because he's one with the Holy Spirit. And when he's let loose, the Spirit of God is let loose. We need him. But if we're deceived by thinking a head full of knowledge is the same as a heart full of revelation, then we're not going to have an appetite. So that's one key right there. Shake that off. Shake that off this morning. Recognize, if you're losing your appetite, check up along those lines right there. Don't think a head full of knowledge is the same as being filled. Being full, having a heart full of revelation. It's not the same thing. And then people fill themselves up with other things so that they cannot be filled with the righteousness of God. They're too full of their own righteousness. The common English version of Matthew 5:6 reads, God blesses those people who want to obey him more than to eat or drink. They'll be given what they want. Hallelujah. Man, we hunger and thirst for him more than natural food. More than natural food. And a lot of times people confuse their natural appetite with their spiritual appetite. There'll be times where your spirit is hungry, and you'll interpret it as, man, I'm hungry for natural food, and off to the pantry you go, off to the refrigerator you go, because you didn't realize it's your spirit. Your spirit's hungry. You'll find after you leave church on Sunday, after you've heard the word of God, hopefully some fresh spiritual hunger got stirred up in you. Well, you'll find you'll have more munchies on Sunday than any other day of the week. Because your appetite, your spiritual appetite is stirred up. But if you're not watchful, you'll interpret that as a physical wanting for food. But sometimes you just got to stop and check and say, now, wait a second. I just ate. There's no way I can still be that hungry. This has to be spiritual. This has to be spiritual. And then we draw it back, pull back into him. But you know, a lot of times it feels easier just go ahead and have that extra bowl of whatever. And just eat and satiate our flesh. Just satiate our flesh. Fill ourselves up with carnal things. Fill ourselves up with natural things. So that I took care of that appetite. And all we did was we dumbed down the spirit. We dulled ourselves to our spirit. That's all we did. So you have to watch that. You got to say, well, now, wait a second. Is this a spiritual hunger? Is this a spiritual hunger? We check up on ourselves. Have I been eating spiritually? I know I just finished eating not too long ago physically. What about spiritually? How am I doing spiritually? Now, this is a great way to lose weight. Because I'm telling you, this is why there is so much obesity in the world today, is because there's people, they're hungry for more. They're hungry for life. But they're filling it with carnal things. They're filling it with carnal things. But here's an amazing thing. If you'll fill yourself up with spiritual truth, if you'll fill yourself up with God's way of doing things, His righteousness, if you'll fill yourself up more with Him, you will find that you will feel satisfied. And it will take care of a lot of those natural cravings for physical food. Fill your spirit up and you'll feel satisfied on the inside. You'll feel full on the inside. Now, of course, you got to keep yourself being filled. It's a constant, it's a continual thing. We got to continually be feeding on Him, drinking of His Spirit. Continuously. Why? Because we're constantly giving out. We're constantly giving out. Every time you resist the devil, every time you resist sin, every time you walk in the righteousness of God, you are burning spiritual calories. You are burning spiritual calories. And then the harder you work, the more you're burning. Right? The more you're burning, the more you have to fill. Have to refill and refill and refill yourself. So, man, you're resisting the devil, you're resisting the devil. Man, you know I gotta go back. I gotta get filled. I mean, even Jesus recognized this. Jesus out there working in the kingdom of God, healing, delivering, and then he's dealing with religious people. He's casting out devils. He's got temptations coming at him. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. And he recognized he had to withdraw and get alone with the Father and just eat. Just eat on the presence of God. Eat on the Word of God. Eat on his fellowship with the Father. And what was the first temptation recorded in the Word of God that Satan brought to Jesus? He came to get Jesus to substitute something carnal for something spiritual. Turn these stones into bread. Make your own bread. Make your own bread. Do your own thing. You can fill yourself. You can satisfy yourself. If you're the Son of God, satisfy yourself. You're hungry. Take care of this hunger your way, according to your will. And Jesus said, no, devil, man does not live by bread alone, natural carnal bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm feeding on His righteousness. I can't make this stuff up myself. I can't create this thing myself. This is not of me. Jesus said that over in John 7, I believe, or John 8. He said, my doctrine is not mine. My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me. It's the Father's. I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. No, I'm not going to do this thing. I'm not going to make my own religion. I'm not going to make my own thing that satisfies me, my flesh. No, I'm going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm waiting on His word. I'm feeding on Him. I'm feeding on His life. But that's what the devil will do. He'll come and he'll try to get you to substitute carnal things for spiritual things. And if you do that, then you will silence or dull yourself to your spiritual appetite, to your spiritual hunger. So we got to watch that. Notice over here in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Notice that statement right there. I fed you. He didn't say, I taught you. He said, I fed you. Boy, that's something right there. Here we are sitting here this morning. A lot of folks think they're just being taught something. No. God's endeavoring to feed you something. Feed you what? Feed you spiritual nourishment. Spiritual food. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. You couldn't receive it. You could not receive the food that I wanted to feed you, the spiritual. Of course, he's talking about spiritual food. You understand that. He's not talking about handing out cartons of milk at church. He's talking about spiritual food. He said, I fed you spiritual food, but it was milk only. I couldn't feed you much more than that. Now, I don't know about you, but I still drink milk. How about you? I never get to the place and say, I drank milk when I was a baby. I don't drink milk. Now, I know different people have different things. They got lactose intolerance, and there's all kinds of, you know, milk issues out there that people have, aside from the milk lactose issues. For normal people, you still drink milk, right? I mean, peanut butter and jelly with soda? Peanut butter and jelly with water? Huh? No. Peanut butter and jelly with milk. Hallelujah. A tuna melt on toast. Now, this is my thing. I'm sorry. Water? Chocolate milk. Chocolate milk. Yes. That's nice. Right? Cereal with water? Cheerios with water? Huh? Little Sprite in your Cheerios? No. See, we still drink milk. We don't sit there and say, I don't drink milk. No, we still like milk. We still drink milk. Thank God for that. But the problem here is that's all they're drinking. And he's wanting to give them some more. He's wanting to get into some other things. You know, I love these people that they have this attitude of, well, I need more. Give me the heavy things. Give me the deep things of God. And the truth is, they couldn't handle it if you gave it to them. They couldn't handle it. Why? Because they're not even walking in the milk of the word. In the base, some of the basic truths of God's word. They still don't have that. You know, one thing I want to be getting into is talking about the authority of the believer. The authority that we have with the name of Jesus. And it's amazing, you know, how much you teach on that. Still, people do not exercise their authority like they would if it was living and alive and they were keeping themselves full of it. Keeping themselves full of it, which means they keep eating it. They keep, which means they're hungry for it. I'm hungry to learn and know more about the authority of the believer. That doesn't get old to me. I mean, I got to hear it. I got to hear it for it to be alive and living in me. I got to hear it. And when it is alive and living in me, I want to hear it. It's not old to me because it's a living thing. I got an appetite for it. But, you know, so many times stuff goes wrong. And I'll ask people, now, did you take authority over the devil? No. I mean, that's like the first thing, right? It's like one of the first things. Usually you take authority over the devil. I mean, if the devil's coming in, he's wreaking havoc, all this stuff's going on, Charlie is out of control. Charlie's completely out of control. All these things about Charlie and all this kind of stuff going on. You can see Charlie's yielding to the devil. I hope there's no Charlies here. But I'm not talking about you. Yeah, you know, Charlie's yielding to the devil. It's like, well, have you taken authority over the devil operating in Charlie? No, I haven't done that. But that same person will sit there and act like, well, I can't believe he's teaching on that again. This is old. Been there, done that, heard that. See, that's a deception. We gotta watch ourselves. It's gotta be the Word of God is something that it's living. It's not something we did, it's something we're doing. It's alive, it's happening all the time. So we're burning it and we're hungering for it and we're getting filled with it and we're burning it and we're hungering for it and we're getting filled with it and we're burning it and we're using it. It's a kind, you never get to the place where I'm full, I'm done, I've arrived. Never. Never happens. If you ever feel like you've arrived in a certain area, you're deceived. It's a deception. And it's a dangerous deception. It's a dangerous deception. Because your faith is not where it needs to be to overcome the tests and trials of life. It's faith in the Word that causes us to have victory over the world, over the things that come against us in this world. You got to have strong faith. So we need faith in the authority of the believer. We need faith in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need faith in speaking in tongues. Come on. We need faith in, I mean, on and on and on and on and on. And there's a whole host of things we need to be feeding on, to keep ourselves spiritually healthy, spiritually strong, spiritually prepared for whatever life would try to throw at us. And there's certain things you got to recognize that you got to recognize when things are not right, when there's no appetite, when there's no appetite, when there's a dullness there. That's when we have to ask God, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I've allowed myself to get inflated with pride, with carnal things, with fleshy things. Forgive me. I need hunger right now. Give me spiritual hunger. Give me spiritual hunger. Give me a hunger for your word. I don't try to generate anything on my own. I go to God, and I say, God, give it to me. If I'm recognizing I need hunger, I ask him for it. Lord, give me hunger. Give me spiritual hunger. Whatever we have need, we go to him for it, and he will fill us. But notice here, he says in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. See, you actually could not receive it. See, when it says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. That's really not on God's end. It's not like God looks and he sees spiritual hunger. He goes, oh, and he begins to feed you. He begins to fill you. No, that's not how it works. He's raining right now manna from heaven. He is raining on the just and on the unjust right now. There's food in the atmosphere. There's food in the land. God, wisdom is crying out to us on every street corner. God is crying out to us. His word, full of spiritual nutrition, is crying out to us all the time, to everybody, everywhere. God's not waiting for you to get hungry before he starts speaking. He's already spoken. And he is speaking. But if you're not hungry, you're not receiving. See, it's not on the giving end. It's all on the receiving end. And I like that. I'm so glad I don't have to try to do something to earn God's favor. I'm so glad I don't have to do a bunch of things to get God to fill me. Now, if I'll do this, this, and this, then God will do this for me. Now, I never have to worry about that because God's doing. He's in the doing business. He's doing good all the time. He's raining all the time. Come on, there's food, there's revelation. All kinds of things are happening all the time. No, it's never a question of God giving it. It's always about, are we receiving it? And how much are we able to receive? I like that because that all I have to deal with is me. I don't have to deal with God. I'm so glad I don't have to try to get God to do something. Right? I'm so glad I don't have to manipulate him and try to get him to do something for me. Feed me, feed me, feed me. Meanwhile, the food is everywhere. You get up in the morning, there's manna all around you. Huh? The quail flying in, the meat falling out of the sky. You know, just like the Old Testament, children of Israel out there in the wilderness. Hey, food was everywhere. There was so much food. He said, I'm going to give you so much, it's going to come out of your nostrils. That's what he said. I mean, just over to us. It's here. God is here. He's awesome. He's speaking. Not just to teach you something, but to feed you with something. See, we got to start seeing it there. We got to start seeing things in a spiritual light. We got to recognize we're spirit beings. We're not just physical. I know that. We're spiritual beings. See, it's when we're walking like spiritual beings and we're conscious of spiritual things. It's easy to be conscious of spiritual, fairly easy, when you're at church. But a lot of times people have, there's no conscious. They walk out the door, spiritual consciousness gone. Now it's natural, 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 natural. All day, all night, natural, natural, natural. Just living in the natural. Yeah, so, I mean, we got to recognize we're spirit beings. Say, I'm a spirit.
I'm a spirit.
And I live in a body.
I am a spirit.
First and foremost,
I'm a spirit.
And I need to feed
on spiritual food.
I'm hungry
for spiritual food.
I mean, you don't want to just feed 3 hot meals a day to your body and then give your spirit 1 dry, cold snack once a week. Have a little cold snack on Sunday. Oh, thank God it's Wednesday. I get to have another little snack. Well, I'm given more than a snack. But a lot of folks can't eat more than a snack. Why? Because spiritually not healthy, spiritually full of other things. Look what he said. He said, you were not able to receive it. You are not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. He's telling them, I wanted to see you be able to eat more, but you couldn't. I was feeding you, but all you were able to get was a little milk and go, I'm full. How long is he going to go?
See, it's not about me preaching too long. It's about you not having much of an appetite.
I mean, there were times people came to Jesus and they just got lost in it. They became so conscious of their spirit in his presence. I mean, there were times, obviously, where, I mean, just being in his presence was electric, you know. And you just became conscious of spiritual things. And he goes on and on and on preaching. And 3 days go by. These people haven't eaten anything in 3 days. They're out there in that desert. And they're just sitting there. And he's 3 days. Nobody's obviously complaining. And then Jesus, he realizes, hey, these people need to eat something. I need to stop. We got to feed them something. And Lord, you know, you send these people away. They got to go get something to eat. I mean, he knew they were so far already gone physically. He knew they would faint on the way. They couldn't even make it back to the grocery store in Jerusalem. So he knew it. We got to feed them right now. And he fed them. And miracles happened. What's great miracle happen? How did that great miracle happen? Oh, it was Jesus. Jesus, do anything he wants to do, whatever he wants to do. No, it had a lot to do with the people. He was able to do miracles because of people's faith. He said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you, right? How about this? According to your hunger. You've been sitting out here for 3 days. We could do a miracle here. Come on. We could do miracles here. We got an audience that is willing to sit here for 3 days and hear the word of God. Things can happen in an atmosphere like that. Come on, somebody. Amen. But how much can you have happen in an atmosphere of I mean 20 minutes. I mean the praise and worship went long. That song, he put an extra chorus in there and my legs hurt. You know, my legs hurt. I would like to sit down. My feet hurt. I'm just saying, we get so conscious of the flesh. See, we get so conscious of the flesh. Everything's so fleshy. See, the more conscious you are of the flesh, like if I start talking about your flesh right now, all of a sudden your the dairy air area will start. You want to get up. You'll say, this seat is uncomfortable. But you can get to a place where you lose sight of that and you become more aware of spiritual things, more aware of spiritual hunger, where you actually forget your body. You forget your body. You forget your physical hunger. I've been in meetings. I went into the meeting hungry. I went into the meeting physically hungry. Physically hungry. But it's like, we didn't have time. We had to get to the meeting. Went to the meeting, and oh, man, just eating on that word, that teaching of the word of God, getting fed, and just feed, and walked out of there so well taken care of spiritually that it was like, I do not have to eat a thing physically. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Absolutely. I didn't even have an appetite. I didn't feel like I needed to eat anything. See, it took care of my physical appetite because I took care of my spirit. See, this will take the edge off of a lot of people's physical hunger that keeps them always snacking and craving food. Fill your spirit. Fill your spirit. Live a spirit-filled life. Praise God, the greatest diet plan ever. How to get totally righteous in 90 days. How many want to get totally, totally righteous in 90 days? Come on, I'm going to put you on this special program. It's not just working out, there's a diet involved in it. You can get totally righteous, totally full of righteousness in 90 days, 30 days. Let's do it in 30 days. Come on. Let's hit the thing. Let's hit the gym. Or the church. Let's get filled. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. But you see, if you're already full of other things, then you're not going to have much of an appetite. And notice what he said. He tells him why. He said, you're not able to receive it. Verse 2, you're not able to receive it. Even now, you're still not able. Verse 3, why? Because you are still carnal. You're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? People are so full of envy. They're so full of strife. I mean, some people just rub up against the wrong. They're ready to fight. You know what I'm saying? They're so contentious. They're always looking for a fight. They're full. They're full. Some people are so full of cares, so full of worries. It's time to cut the care calories. How do you like to cut care calories? Why don't we get that? Why don't we get that out of our diet? Can we get the cares out? It got real quiet in here. See, there's good calories, there's bad calories. Cares, bad calories. Bad calories. You don't want care calories. You got to cast those. Cut them out of your diet. Praise God. Get out of worrying. People are so full of worrying. So full of cares. They're stuffed. They're stuffed. There's not much room for much more. And that's what he's saying. He's saying you're carnal. He says there's envy, there's strife, there's divisions among you. You're still carnal, behaving like mere men. And because of that, you're unable to receive spiritual food, spiritual nourishment. So it's time to change that. Can you say amen? Amen. Notice over here in James chapter 1, he says in verse 21, let's go back to verse 19 because we were just talking about strife. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, you get angry at people, you're not going to get them to walk in righteousness. You're not going to get people filled with righteousness by being angry with them, yelling the Bible at them. You can't yell scripture at somebody and get them filled with righteousness. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That'd be like walking up to them and taking a big hero, you know, a big loaf of bread and trying to shove it in their mouth. It's not going to work well. I said it's not going to work well. That's what a lot of people do. You know? They know what their people in their lives need. And so bless God, they're gonna make them eat it. You know, you can see it, if you can see it in the spirit, you know, that's what it looks like. You got little Johnny in the chair there, and you got a big Subway. And you're it's not gonna work. Anger, wrath is not gonna fill anybody. It's not gonna fill them with righteousness. It's not gonna produce righteousness in their life. So you gotta stop that. Stop it. Stop it. See, when you understand this, the forcing stops. If people are not receiving, if people are not feeding, if people are not hungry, if people are not eating, there's only so much you can do. And what you need to be looking to do, rather than trying to stuff food down their throat, trying to stuff the truth down their throat to straighten them out, what you need to do is work on helping to get them hungry. Not trying to fill them. They need hunger first in order to be filled. So he says, the wrath of man, verse 20, does not produce the righteousness of God. So when you understand that, then you don't force anymore. Jesus said over in Matthew 7, he said, to everyone who asks, receives. And to him who knocks, it'll be open. If people aren't knocking, if people aren't asking, then they're not hungry. That's why many times Jesus would come and he would ask questions. He would try to get people to think and get hungry so that he'd be able to reveal things to them. He would come and ask them questions. Who do men say that I am? Who do you think John was? What about this? What about that? And you just go through Jesus always asking questions. In fact, the first recorded conversation between God and man was God asking Adam a question. Where are you? Who told you? What is this you have done? All questions. God knew all those answers. Why isn't God just telling him what he did? Tell him what he did. You show him. No, God's asking him what he did. So that he goes, I don't know. What did I do? Good question. Here, have something to eat. See, you ask question, you get filled, see? You ask question, you hunger. See what I'm saying? He got to get you asking. He's got to get you asking. That's you hungering. What are you asking for? Wait, don't just be asking for carnal things. How about asking for being right rather than just asking for everything to go right today? Lord, make everything go right today. Just remove all the problems. I thank you for keeping the devil away from me, and I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. That's not hungering for righteousness. Righteousness is, Lord, help me to act right no matter what goes wrong. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to think right. Help me to live this day right. And we're always looking for him to help us, guide us through every step of our way through this life. We're looking for him to teach us, to fill us, show us the way. We need him. So that's staying hungry, asking questions. He says, you have not because you ask not. You ask not. Or you're just asking for carnal, fleshy things. Just to satisfy your flesh. And he said, you're not going to receive anything that, you're not going to receive praying that way either. Because it's just carnal. It's just carnal. Just wanting to be filled with carnal things. No, hunger and thirst for righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. See, but you go asking for the things, and you just stare at the things, and then what happens is you get full of things, and righteousness is not added unto you. Spiritual things are not added unto you. In fact, you've dulled yourself to spiritual things. Because all you're praying about, talking about, and thinking about is things, which you're not receiving anyway. Because it's just carnal, just carnal, carnal, carnal. See? So, we got to recognize, I need spiritual things, because if I can get the spiritual things, then all these other things in the natural, they'll be added unto me. Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Notice that. He says, you got to lay some stuff aside. Humble yourself and get over here in meekness, recognizing your need for God. Don't depend on all these natural things. Fill yourself with all these natural things. Be filled with Him. Recognize your need for Him. Lay aside all the distractions, all the things that are contrary to God's way of thinking, God's way of doing things, that you're overflowing with. He says, lay those things aside and receive with meekness. Receive with meekness. Meekness is spiritual hunger. When you're meek, you recognize in yourself you are weak and you need spiritual strength. You need spiritual help. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm receiving with meekness the word of God. I am hungry and thirsty for righteousness. God's right way of thinking. God's right way of doing. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.